Good afternoon, this is The Art of Jazz, I'm Ken Wiley. In the early 20s, Abe Lyman, a great band leader with a great band, wrote a tune in collaboration with his friend Gus Arnheim, who was going to continue on and have a band. And of course he brought Crosby to the world early on. And their friend Arthur Freed wrote a lyric to what they'd composed. And Benny Goodman's going to play it for you now, from 1938. Thank you. I Cried for You, written by a couple of band leaders. One, not yet, but that's close enough. Gus Arnheim and Abe Lyman wrote that. It's called I Cried for You, and performed by an early quintet of Benny Goodman. Most of the quintet work that people remember started after 1940. This one, from 1938, Goodman on clarinet, Lionel Hampton on vibraphone, and the mystical, lyrical Teddy Wilson. That solo is a classic on piano. John Kirby bass, and Buddy Schutz playing the drums. I Cried for You by Benny Goodman, 1938. To hear Arthur Freed's lyric to that 1923 composition, let's go to Hollywood, 1942, for Columbia Records. I Cried for You, Harry James and his orchestra, his trumpet, and his vocalist, Helen Forrest. I Cried for You, and sung by Helen Forrest with Harry James Orchestra in Hollywood, 1942, for Columbia Records. And that really precious arrangement was by Leroy Holmes. Helen Forrest singing, Harry James trumpet, and all of it a composition by Gus Arnheim, Abe Lyman, and Arthur Freed. Here's Meade Lux Lewis, 1939, for Solo Art Records. Solo Art Records are kind of interesting, I think, because they were put together by a gentleman named Dan Coyley, who just liked piano. He just liked piano jazz, and he decided, that's what I want to record, and he did. Meade Lux Lewis was part of that, and here are two by Lewis, Deep Fives, and Blues Deluxe. Thank you. Lux Lewis, 1939, for Solo Art, 78 records, and two by him, Deep Fives and Blues Deluxe. Meet Lux Lewis, solo piano, 1939. Right here on 88.5, KPLU, NPR News, and All That Jazz. And support for KPLU comes from you and... Now let's go to Edna Winston, November 1926 for Victor Records. One called Mama's Gonna Drop Your Curtain and Pail in My Hand. With her, Tom Morris on cornet, Charlie Irvis, who spent time in the early Duke Ellington band playing trombone, Bob Fuller on clarinet and alto, Mike Jackson here on piano rather than banjo, and Buddy Christian taking the banjo chair. Edna Winston.
Hey, had Papa told you try to be so clear? Say, had Papa so easy with your lips? And if I can pull you around and safely come to lay you down, the first gal I catch you kissing, be the last gal you never kiss. Your friends will find you missing, lips like you never was missed. Just stop your breath, say an American man's place. Oh, your mama's gonna stop your curtain. I'm so dead in your face, but you won't know it. I'll commit a crime if you try to get too bold. I ain't gonna take no time. get you so. I'll take my blame and cut away your happiness. For the first girl I get you to be the last girl you'll ever kiss. First girl I get you to be the last girl you'll ever kiss. Your friends will find you miss like you never was missed. Just stop your flexing, say you're a married man's flame. All your mama's gone to drop your face and throw dirt in your face. But you won't know it after the crime if you try to get to go. For the first girl I get you kiss, he'll be the last girl you ever kiss. Blues have got me all the live long day. I'm disgusted, feel like running away. Just ain't got no place to go. Seems like all folks I know are living in the same boat that I row. This problem has got my gun. For a little more, I cut my throat. Got a tail in my hair, on my knees all day long. If I had a good man, I would do him wrong. Ain't got no chance to even be bad. So full of ambition, it makes me sad. Lordy, Lord, what can I do? Got a veil in my hand that keeps breaking all day long. If I had a good man, I wouldn't do him wrong. Only one thing I regret. Everybody thinks that I'm all wet. Got a quill in my hand, on my knees all day long.
Back in 1926, and it's Edna Winston with an all-star cast of that time. And what's fascinating about that period is the fact that it's the beginning of this art. I mean, it had been going on for a long time, I'm sure. The first recordings in 1917, at least as we know them. And just the idea of improvisation happening with people at any time. I mean, it happens now when you sing in your car on the way to work. Whistle, whatever that is. And functioning that way as artists, they had no idea about that. It was a job. They enjoyed doing it. People loved it. They danced to it, listened to it. Edna Winston, 1926. Mama's Gonna Drop Your Curtain. And Pale in My Hand, Victor, 78 Records. I want to take Thomas Morris, who was playing cornet there beautifully, and put him in his own band, same year. Thomas Morris and his Seven Hot Babies, and the classic Spencer Williams, Georgia Grind. Thomas Morris and his Seven Hot Babies, 1926, for Victor Records, Georgia Grind, Morris on cornet. And Bill Benford's tuba is almost as if he was saying to himself, I better blow loudly here because I want to get over to the microphone there. Microphone was sort of like a dunce cap on its side. And given that, I mean, it's amazing the quality of records, particularly Columbia and Victor in those days. They didn't know about baffling and doing all the things you do with curtains and the acoustical physics of it all. But that sound led to what we're going to hear next. But first I want to tell you, this is The Art of Jazz. I'm Ken Wiley, happy to be with you on Sunday afternoons. And this is 88.5 KPLU, NPR News and all that jazz. And support for KPLU comes from you and all of what you hear in the history or what you see in the history of any art. It contributes to what's going to happen, and it's quite detailed in some areas. But what we just heard very easily led to Count Basie, which we're going to hear now. Basie, who got stranded in Kansas City, learned what they were doing there, and he taught them something of what he had been doing in Red Bank, New Jersey, which essentially was New York style. And all of it contributed, one way or another, to getting to what we're going to hear now. 1941, for OK Records, Count Basie and his orchestra doing a Reed Chameter hit at the time, 1-2-3 O'Leary. Basie, of course, on piano, the great Jimmy Rushing singing, Joe Jones superb drumming, Buddy Tate on tenor. All of that gives us this. And Count Basie's orchestra, a wonderful coupling there of 1941 jazz. 1-2-3 O'Leary, and Joe Jones having a break there in the middle, playing his drums. Buddy Tate's tenor, Rushing, singing, and Basie's piano. And the tempo there was important because the dancers didn't want to exhaust themselves early on in the evening, and it was a perfect tempo for them. And not only having the tempo be there for them, but also something that would spark them to do something in their dancing, because all of this was a response given by the orchestra to the dancers and the dancers to the orchestra, and it worked very well that way. Coming up now is Fancy Meeting You. This gives Earl Warren a chance to sing. Earl Warren, for a long time, was lead alto player in this band. Buck Clayton's trumpet will be heard. It's a Harold Arlen Yip Harburg rare piece called Fancy Meetin' You.
fancy meeting you. Now what's the name? I feel so stupid. Oh, I recall it's Daniel Cupid. Well, fancy greeting you. Here we go again. And since you're here, I bet you're wishing to supervise a love I'm dishing. So grab your bow again. I'm the fickle guy that ran you ragged. I've got the Cupid's Union guessing. You're out of arrows, you look haggard. And now your birthday suit needs pressing. I've been treating you just like a dog, and though you're graying, a year from now I'll still be saying, fancy meeting you.
Not too fast, not too slow, just right. Count Basie for the dancers at that time. And that was Earl Warren, lead alto saxophonist, giving us a vocal. And Fancy Meeting You, written by Harold Arlen and Yip Harburg. 1941 Now, Coming Out Party, written by Milt Evans, arranged by the great Jimmy Mundy, M-U-N-D-Y. And aside from tempo for the dancers, of course they wanted to have an up-tempo piece and show off what they could do. But what is called a riff, or riff progression, is very important because it's a rhythmic pattern, something to hold on to with your ears, in a sense. Ba-da-da-doo-da-doo-da-doo-da, that kind of idea. Played over and over again for the dancers, and they could just mix with it. Plus, the band could change the volume of it, and it seemed like something completely new, and even more so if the band changed key. It was like a new story. Here's Count Basie, 1941, and Coming Out Party. Riff progression, Basie's piano, Jimmy Mundy's arrangement.
Thank you.
Basie, 1941, and Coming Out Party, as I said, a riff progression, and a beautiful Jimmy Mundy arrangement. Coming Out Party, written by Milt Ebbins for Basie's band, all of that on OK 78 Records. This is The Art of Jazz. I'm Ken Wiley, and you're listening to 88.5 KPLU, NPR News, and all that jazz. And support for KPLU comes from you and... Back to Basie and Harvard Blues. I want to play for you two renditions of it. The first classic one was done in 1941, for OK Records, the flip side of Coming Out Party. Harvard Blues was written by Tab Smith, an alto saxophonist, and his friend George Frazier, and Smith did the arrangement for the band. Basie's piano was prominent. In the original, the tenor saxophone solo is by Don Bias. Jimmy Rushing sings with beautiful trombone work behind him by Dickie Wells. All that remains the same in the second, except for the fact that Buddy Tate comes in and plays the tenor saxophone solo instead of Carlos Don Bias. Two Harvard Blues, both Basie, one 1941, the second one 1944.
Thank you. shoes all the time. I wear brush clothes and white shoes all the time. Get 3 C's and a D. Think checks from Home Supply. I don't keep dogs or women in my room. I don't keep dogs or women in my room. But I love my Vincent, baby, until the day of doom. I'm a most indifferent guy. Reinhardt, Reinhardt, I'm a most indifferent guy.
Two renditions of Harvard Blues by Count Basie, 1941 and 1944. The second one was issued on HEP CD, as a matter of fact, if you're interested. It's an AFRS Jubilee recording, Armed Forces Radio Service. If you follow any of this program, you know I play those from on occasion. And what that means is the music was performed to be put on disc, to be sent to the people, men and women, around the world who were involved in the war effort in World War II. Jimmy Rushing singing, both cases. And some beautiful work on tenor saxophone in the first recording by Don Byas. The second recording by, Buddy Tate. And behind Rushing Singing, superb trombone work by Dickie Wells. Two Harvard Blues by Count Basie. This is 88.5 KPLU, Tacoma, Seattle, NPR News, and celebrating 20 years of All That Jazz, a service of Pacific Lutheran University. This program is The Art of Jazz. It's my pleasure to be with you on Sunday afternoon. Let's change tempo now with Basie. From the relaxed, danceable style, and even slower with Harvard Blues, hold your partner close and sway with the band. Now is the show-off time. Buck Clayton wrote a piece and arranged it for the band. He plays trumpet and did for years. Beautiful trumpet player. This is called Avenue C. Basie's piano, Dickie Wells' trombone, Buddy Tate's tenor, Harry Sweets Edison trumpet, Lester Young on tenor saxophone, and the great Joe Jones with the band playing his drums. Here is Avenue C. Well, that must have driven everyone crazy. I mean, think about that just being 3 minutes, one side of a 10-inch 78 record. And building on that. What'd they do to play Avenue C for the dancers? Since it's a blues, it's 12-measure progression, over and over again. There'd be some signal, you know, like in baseball, that would indicate to the soloists to just keep going until the next guy wanted to go. And then somebody would point at the top of their head, and that meant back to the top, and out you'd go. And Joe Jones, probably on the drums, if they were playing for a dance, would go on and on and on with his magic at the drums. Finally, for Basie here now, 1943, Jumping at the Woodside. This was put together by Count Basie. The Woodside is a hotel, was a hotel, in Harlem, where musicians used to stay there. It's a head arrangement, which means nobody had to write this down. They'd played it, and it was played again close enough, and pretty soon it got everything pretty much together so that the musicians knew what they were doing with it and would allow for the solos. The opening by Basie is classic. December 1943, Count Basie, Jumping at the Woodside. perfect example, I think, of what I've been talking about today, about the response of the band to the people and the people to the band and the tempos and the volume changes and the riffs, the riff the saxophone section was doing at the end of that and continued to do and then decreased in volume and brought it back up again. Thrilling for the dancers, I'm sure. Jumping to the Woodside, Count Basie composition, a head arrangement, Basie's piano, Earl Warren's alto, Joe Newman got a trumpet solo in there, Lester Young's tenor, and Harry Sweets Edison going out there on the trumpet. Jumping at the Woodside, as I said, the Woodside Hotel was a hotel in Harlem, important one. Those, the second Harvard Blues that I played in the Avenue C, excuse me, and that Jumping at the Woodside came from those Armed Forces Radio Service Jubilee recordings I was talking about. All right. This is The Art of Jazz. I'm Ken Wiley, and you're listening to 88.5 KPLU. We're here for you 24 hours a day. It's a pleasure for me to be with you on Sunday afternoons between 3 and 6. Sidney Bechet now, 1940, clarinetist and soprano saxophonist. He plays soprano here. This is a composition put together by John Turner Layton, who also wrote a jazz classic called After You've Gone. This is called Dear Old Southland. For Blue Note Records, Sidney Bechet, Teddy Bunn guitar, Pops Foster on string bass, and Sid Catlett on the drums. Dear Old Southland and the soprano sax of Sidney Bechet, 1940, for Blue Note Records. With him, Teddy Bunn guitar, Pops Foster bass, and Sid Catlett on drums. I want to compare that 1940 recording of Dear Old Southland with one done by Louis Armstrong in 1930 for OK Records. He, on trumpet, and his friend, Buck Washington, part of a great vaudeville team of Buck and Bubbles, John Bubbles, the great dancer, and Buck Washington to play the piano, as he does here with Louis Armstrong, and their version of Dear Old Southland.
Hey, Buck, let's never entertain the boys.
Lightly.
Come on, Pop.
Armstrong, 1928, with Buck Washington on piano. Excuse me, 1930. Dear Old Southland for OK 78 Records. The flip side is 1928 in Chicago. It's a duet. Louis Armstrong and Earl Hines on the piano. It's based on a composition that Joe King Oliver wrote for his Creole jazz band called Weatherbird Rag. And Louis Armstrong and Earl Hines simply just call it Weatherbird. What I'm going to play for you now is the Armstrong-Hines, followed by the 1923 original, a band that contained Louis Armstrong, learning from his mentor, Joe Oliver, one of the great ensembles in this art ever, King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band. So two for you of Weatherbird, Louis Armstrong and Earl Hines in 28, and King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band in 1923.
Thank you.
Louis Armstrong in two different places, two different times. In Chicago, 1928, with Earl Hines on piano, doing Joe Oliver's Weatherbird for OK, 78 Records. Then in Richmond, Indiana, about 90 miles or so southeast of Chicago, in 1923 for the Jeanette Record Company, and the original, King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band doing Weatherbird Rag. The beautiful drumming in there, by the way, was by Warren, Baby Dot. Lil Hardin to be Mrs. Armstrong on piano. King Oliver on cornet, Louis Armstrong on cornet. Bud Scott, Arthur Bud Scott playing the banjo. Johnny Dodd's clarinet, Honoré Dutré on trombone. And as I said, Oliver and Armstrong doing the two cornet work there. Quite classic. And probably, along with the modern jazz quartet, a perfect example of collective improvisation. This is The Art of Jazz. I'm Ken Wiley, and you're listening to 88.5 KPLU NPR News and all that jazz. And support for KPLU comes from you and... Well, we heard Louis Armstrong in two different settings. Let's hear Sarah Vaughan in two different settings. First with Georgie Auld's orchestra, 1946, and second in Hollywood with Oscar Peterson, Ray Brown, Joe Pass, and Louis Belson in 1978, and in both cases singing Ord Hamilton's hit, You're Blasé.
Chasm, you've no enthusiasm, you're tired and uninspired, you're blasé, your day is one of leisure in which you search for pleasure. You're bored when you're adored, you're blasé. Why reach for the moon and the stars up in the sky? The simple the sun is shining. You wake, it's time for daddy. There's nothing new for you to do. Thank you.
in your door, to your blase. While reaching for the moon, the stars up in the sky, the simple things of noble life are slowly passing by. You sleep, the sun is shining. You wake, it's time.
Two different places, two different times. 1946 with Georgie Auld's tenor saxophone and his orchestra. And Ord Hamilton's Your Blase. And then in Hollywood, 1978 for Pablo. Long Playing Records, Norman Grand's last label. With Oscar Peterson, Ray Brown, Joe Pass, and Louis Belson. That is piano, bass, guitar, and drums, respectively. Sarah Vaughan. And Your Blase. I'd like to stay with her in Hollywood 1978 in that band and give you one more. Music by Vincent Humans, lyric by Eddie Eliscu. Thank you.
whether you are here or yonder, whether you are false or true, whether you remain or wander, I'm growing fonder of you. Even though your friends forsake you, even though you don't succeed, wouldn't I be glad to take you, give you the break you need more than you know, more than you know, man of my heart, I love you, I love you so. Lately I find you're on my mind, more than you know, whether you're right, whether you're wrong, man of my heart, I'll string along. You need me so more than you ever, more than you ever know. Loving, loving, loving you the way, loving you the way that I do. There's nothing, there's nothing I can do about it. Love may be all you can give, but honey, honey, I can't live without it. Oh, how I'd cry, oh, how I'd cry if you got tired and said goodbye. More than I'd show, more than you'd ever, you'd ever, ever know. Thank you. more than I show, more than you'll ever know, more than you'll ever know, more than you'll ever know.
Sarah Vaughan and Oscar Peterson in Hollywood, April 1978 for Pablo Long Playing Records, and Vincent Newman's music and Eddie Elliscu's lyric, More Than You Know. This is The Art of Jazz. I'm Ken Wiley, and you're listening to 88.5 KPLU, NPR News, and all that jazz. And support for KPLU comes from you and...
Wonder why I had to fall for you, oh, you dog. Why do you make my life so tough? It seems I can't love you half enough. You're so heavenly, much too much for me.
I wish that I was twin, you had been baby kin,
so I could love you twice as much as I do. I'd have four loving arms to embrace you, four eyes to idolize you each time I face you.
With two hearts twice and true, what couldn't four lips do?
When 4 years he was saying I'm yours, you brand me baby kin.
Wish that I'm a twin, so I could love you twice as much as I do.
History of this art, there's, I don't think anybody like Thomas Fats Waller. You just heard him. Fats Waller and his Rhythm, 1934 for Victor Records. I Wish I Were Twins, written by Joe Meyer, with lyric by Frank Lesser and Eddie DeLange. Fats Waller, piano and vocal, with his friends Herman Autry on trumpet and Ben Whitted on clarinet, Al Casey, guitar, Billy Taylor on the bass, and Harry Dial on drums. Chicago Now, 1924 for Paramount Records. This is called Chicago Stomp. It was written by the pianist Jimmy Blythe. Thank you. Chicago South Side great pianist Jimmy Blythe, 1924 in Chicago for Paramount Records, and one he wrote called Chicago Stomp. You're listening to 88.5 KPLU, NPR News, and all that jazz. And this program is The Art of Jazz. I'm Ken Wiley, happy to be with you on Sundays between 3 and 6. And support for KPLU comes from you. And up next, three characters from the history of this art form, beautiful people. Gene Harris on the piano, Andy Simpkins on bass, and Bill Dowdy playing the drums. And they're going to perform for you under the name that they went by in those years of 1961, The Three Sounds. And they're going to play for you a 1940 hit by Jimmy Davis and Charlie Mitchell. And here they are. The Three Sounds, big name, 1961. Excuse me. That means Gene Harris on piano, Andy Simpkins on bass, and Bill Dowdy on drums, and You Are My Sunshine, written in 1940 by Jimmy Davis and Charlie Mitchell, and all of that put together August 1961 by Blue Note Long Playing Records. The Three Sounds doing You Are My Sunshine. Mel Torme is going to be up next, but first let me tell you, this is 88.5 KPLU, Tacoma, Seattle, NPR News, and celebrating 20 years of All That Jazz, a service of Pacific Lutheran University. And here is Mel Torme.
shines at midnight 'neath the starry sky. Nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Strolling with the one girl, sighing sigh after sigh. Nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Just imagine someone waiting at the cottage door, where two hearts become one. Who could ask for anything more? Loving one who loves you, and then taking that vow. Nice work if you can get it, and if you get it, won't you tell me how? Nice work if you can get it. Nice work if you can get it. The man who only lives for making money lives a life that isn't necessarily sunny. Likewise, the man who works for fame, there's no guarantee that time won't erase his name. The only work that really brings enjoyment is the kind that is for girl and boy meant. Fall in love, you won't regret it. That's the best kind of work if you can get it. Midnight, 'neath the starry sky. Nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Strolling with the one girl, sighing sigh after sigh. Nice work if you can get it. Nice work if you can get it, and if you get it, won't you tell me how?
Mel Torme, Nice Work If You Can Get It, one of the last compositions of George Gershwin. The Gershwins wrote that in 1937, the year that George Gershwin died. And the arrangement by Marty Paich, pianist and arranger and composer, and his Dektet, performing behind Mr. Torme for, I have it on an Affinity LP. I'm sure the original is out there somewhere. Nevertheless, Los Angeles, 1956, Mel Torme, Nice Work If You Can Get It. Coming up now, Donald Byrd, his trumpet, and Gigi Grice, his alto saxophone, and Benny Golson's beautiful tribute to Clifford Brown. Clifford Brown, the great trumpet player, died in an automobile crash in 1956, and this is Golson's 1957, and a performance of I Remember Clifford.
Thank you.
Clifford, in honor of Clifford Brown, the great trumpet player, and written by Benny Golson, and there performed in 1957 by Donald Byrd on trumpet and Gigi Grice on alto and their band, which they called the Jazz Lab for Columbia LP. I remember Clifford, Donald Byrd, Gigi Grice, Jazz Lab. Here's George Bruns and his jazz band 1957 for Disneyland Long Playing Records. Bruns was an interesting guy. He worked for Disney and he lived in Portland, Oregon. He lived in a place called The Castle and he started a band called The Castle Jazz Band. Rightly so. Wrote a big hit for him, made him a lot of money. In I think 1953 or 4, somewhere in there, The Ballad of Davy Crockett. George Bruns plays the trombone. And with him, Marvin Ashe on piano, George Probert on clarinet, Ray Leatherwood bass, Don Kinch on trumpet, and Nick Fatool on the drums. George Bruns and his Dixieland Band for Disneyland Long Playing Records. He worked for them, lived in Portland and ran the Castle Jazz Band, played the trombone there, and wrote the piece that they played for you called That Happy Rag. George Bruns and his Jazz Band, 1957. I'm going to come back here in a few moments, but let me say, you're listening to 88.5 KPLU, NPR News, and all that jazz. And support for KPLU comes from you and... Many times I speak of Harold Arlen, and I mention composers and lyricists because they are the artists who gave us the music. It's important to remember that. I got started with Harold Arlen because I was slightly amused by the fact that so many people had watched The Wizard of Oz and didn't know who wrote the music throughout that. And it was one of the projects of Harold Arlen, A-R-L-E-N, in his wonderful life. And so I brought him here today for you. And he's going to sing for you one of his many hits. This is called My Shining Hour. He wrote it in 1943, lyric by Johnny Mercer, his friend. And if I remember correctly, the musical is The Sky's the Limit, My Shining Hour. Harold Arlen, 1964, to sing it for you with orchestra, followed by the same composition played by John Coltrane.
This moment, this minute, and each second in it will leave a glow upon the sky. And as time goes by, it will never die. Will be my shining hour. Come and happy and bright. In my dreams, your face will flower through the darkness of the night, like the lights of home before me, or an angel watching o'er me. This will be my shining hour till I'm with you again. Again.
My Shining Hour, written by Harold Arlen, and lyric by Johnny Mercer. First performed by the composer and issued in 1964 by CBS Long Playing Records, Harold Arlen with orchestra, Mr. Arlen singing for us, and John Coltrane's tenor sax in 1958 for Atlantic Long Playing Records, and if you're interested in that, going out and finding it, it's the Atlantic LP called Coltrane Jazz. My Shining Hour, Wynton Kelly piano, Paul Chambers bass, Jimmy Cobb playing the drums, and of course Coltrane on tenor saxophone. My Shining Hour. Up with Trust in Me now. Trust in Me was written by Milt Ager and Gene Swartz and Ned Weaver, I think sometime around 1933-34, somewhere in there. We will hear Clark Terry, the great flugelhorn player, with Thelonious Monk on piano, Sam Jones on bass, and Philly Joe Jones on drums, followed by Mildred Bailey singing it for you from 1937.
Thank you. About love's invitation. Come to me without more speculation. Have no fear. Give me your hand, my dear. Trust in me in all you do. The faith I have in you, love will see us through, if only you trust in me. Come to me when things go wrong, cling to me and I'll be strong. We can get along as long as you trust in me. To fly while there's you and I, you can be sure I love you. Stand beside me all the while, face the future with a smile. Trust in me and I'll be worthy of you.
Trust in Me, starting out with Clark Terry, his flugelhorn, Thelonious Monk on piano, Sam Jones on bass, and Philly Joe Jones on the drums for Riverside, Clark Terry Quartet, 1958, in their version of Trust in Me, and then back to 1937 in Chicago for Vocalion Records, Mildred Bailey and her version, and a beautiful arrangement by Eddie Sauter for Roy Eldridge, Scoops Carey, Herbie Hamer, Teddy Cole, John Collins, Truck Parham, and Zudie Singleton behind her. Roy Eldridge trumpet to advantage there throughout, and particularly at the end. Mildred Bailey from Eastern Washington, way out there by the border between Washington and Idaho. Mildred Bailey in Chicago, 1937, and Trust in Me. The next selection is one of my favorite, By Her, by Mildred Bailey. There's something about Poe and the incredible swing that goes on. Swing is that ineffable quality of this art form. I don't know anybody that defined it better than Basie. He said it's something you pat your foot to. Well, you know, or click your fingers or clap your hands or shriek or whatever you do, but it's something that touches you. And it certainly is here. 1935, When Day Is Done. It was written by Bob Catcher and Buddy DeSilva, Chris Griffin on trumpet, Chewberry on tenor saxophone, Teddy Wilson on piano, Dick McDonough on guitar, Artie Bernstein on bass, and Eddie Doherty on the drums with Mildred's husband of the time, Red Norvo, playing xylophone, When Day Is Done. Swingingness there, and it's superb, and I suppose hearing it again for the 900th time, I can say that it probably has to do with the fact that Mildred Bailey stopped singing and the band continued on, then she came back in again, and all that wonderful change occurs, which, as I was talking about earlier in the program, what affects the dancers and how they respond to the band and the band to the dancers back and forth. When Day Is Done, Mildred Bailey's vocal, 1935. You're listening to 88.5 KPLU, NPR News, and all that jazz. And support for KPLU comes from you and... One of the things we just heard was an arrangement by Eddie Sauter, and he worked for Benny Goodman early on in his career. And here are two arrangements for Goodman's band in 1940. The first called Superman, which is a feature for Cootie Williams, trumpet. He had left Duke Ellington's band and joined Goodman in, I believe, October of 1940. And then another version of More Than You Know, written by Vincent Eumanns and Eddie Eliscu, with a vocal by Helen Forrest. two arrangements for Benny Goodman, 1940, by Eddie Sauter, Superman, and More Than You Know.
Thank you.
say true. Even though you don't succeed, wouldn't I be glad to take you, give you the break you need, more than you know, more than you know. Man of my heart, I love you so.
Sauter arrangements for Benny Goodman's orchestra for Columbia Records, 1940. Superman, a composition and arrangement by Sauter, featuring Cootie Williams on his trumpet, and Helen Forrest's vocal of More Than You Know, arrangement by Sauter for her and the orchestra. You're listening to 88.5 KPLU, NPR News, and all that jazz. And support for KPLU comes from you and... I'm going to bring in a composer now that I talk about a bit. And he's a rare fellow. His name is Nacio Herb Brown. He was born in 1896, died 1964. We'll hear two of his works. The first from 1928, a piano solo. And the second from 1990, a vocal. Thank you.
stepped out of a dream. You are too wonderful to be what you seem. Should there be eyes like yours? Should there be lips like yours? Should there be smiles like yours? Honest and truly, you step out of a cloud. I want to take you away, away from the crowd, and have you all to myself, alone and apart, out of a dream, safe in my heart. You stepped out of a dream. You are too wonderful to be what you seem. Should there be eyes like yours? Should there be lips like yours? Should there be smiles like yours? Honest and truly, you step out of a cloud. I want to take you away, away from the crowd, and have you all to myself, alone and apart, out of a dream, safe in my heart.
Compositions by Nacio Herb Brown. The first, 1928 piano solo of Rag Doll, performed by Sid Williams, and Shirley Horn on piano and vocal of Brown's You Stepped Out of a Dream, his collaboration with lyricist Gus Kahn, done for Verve CD in 1990. Nacio Herb Brown, Rag Doll, and You Stepped Out of a Dream. Okay, up next is Itchy Fingers, saxophone quartet from England, 1991, doing Bronislaw Capers Invitation, followed by Django Reinhardt.
Thank you. Thank you.
performance, of course, a concert. Itchy Fingers, a saxophone quartet from there, 1991 for Enja. Long playing records, an invitation written by Bronislaw Kaper. Itchy Fingers, 1991. This is 88.5 KPLU Tacoma, Seattle, NPR News, and celebrating 20 years of All That Jazz, a service of Pacific Lutheran University. This program has been The Art of Jazz. I'm Ken Wiley, and thanks for being out there.